Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the law or by the hearing of faith? And we, this section here, we've come into with number one, verse number one, Paul stopped here and he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? I've been there. I know that. So Paul says, hey, guys, they started out with a clear understanding of the cross. You started out with a clear understanding of the grace of Christ, the gospel. Now, I mean, you guys were standing right there in the doctrine. You guys were right on point. But he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's right, but now you're foolish. Now you've been bewitched. You've been put under a spell. You've been taken from who you are in Christ and moved on into something else. I'm sorry, but you're still the law side, okay? All right? Okay. You're still on the law side, all right? So I graciously require, okay? But no, so he says, hey, guys, you got it right. Man, you guys were right there. But someone and bewitched you. And we looked at this verse. We're going to be looking at verse 3, but we looked at the verse and that we looked at that issue of witches in the Bible and the bewitching. And we went over in the Bible, which is the witch of Endor. And witches in the Bible speak and communicate with the dead. That's what they do. They bring up the dead. And when he says here that you guys have been bewitched, somebody has come along and resurrected a program that God said was dead and put you back underneath it. And the law program is dead. And what you see here is really the truth, and he does it by resurrecting a program that God said was dead. And he brought it back. Back under, and he says, hey guys, the attack here on the truth is to take and to put you underneath a program that was dead, and you're foolish. You're slow in your thinking, paying attention to learning. And he says, because of that, you guys have been moved away from myself, chapter 1, chapter 2, defending his apostleship, set the record straight. And you know, when this stuff happens, it's no small thing, honestly, when people resurrect the law and put you back underneath the law. And I say that because you go into churches and you hear a message preached, and what do they do to you? They slide you right back underneath that law, and that's bewitching. That's Satan's attack on the truth. That's Satan come along and saying, hey, look, don't worry. Yeah, you're saved by grace. We got you. But you got to go work now. You have to perform. And that doesn't work. It can't be done. So it's no small thing to preach an undispensational message, is the issue. And to put somebody back underneath a program that is dead, been up, set aside, is no longer functioning. And where that comes from is from Satan's attack on the truth. And he does it by mixing truth with error. Taking the law and grace and mixing, saying, look, you can have both sides of the pie. And you can't. It is either one or all, or none at all. So when he starts off here, by the way, that's why the body of Christ is in total apostasy today. When you look around the church, the body of Christ, when you talk to believers, people in the body of Christ, 90% of them are stuck in a message that's mixed with law and grace. And when that happens, when we're going to get into these questions now, when that happens, it frustrates, you just said up there in verse 20, chapter 2, frustrate the grace of God. Back the grace of God from working in your life. So you always feel like you're what? Struggling to make it. Man, why isn't... Boy, why don't I have a happy life? Why is my life so blah? You know, never satisfied. Why? And yet, we're going through Galatians 2:20 there, and yet you have it all. We looked last week at Ephesians 1, being blessed with all spiritual blessings. And I don't know about you guys, but I had a good time last Sunday. We just read the verses, if you noticed. I didn't do a lot of flailing and talking about it. We just read the verse, and what did we, look at all that stuff we have, and what do we want to do? Just give me something to perform. Just give me something to do, Rick, and I'll do it, man. It's good. And Paul says, boy, you're a fool for doing that. Verse 2, this is where so what he does here now in 2, 3, 4, and 5, chapter 3, verse 2 here, he's asking questions. And he asks some questions to make them think. And you know what? When you're a foolish thinker, you're slow thinking about something, you're not paying attention, the best for you is to be asking questions. And I said this last week, these are great questions to ask your religious friends. You know that? Because their religion is never going to answer it. I was under the hood this past week on my changing the valve for gaskets out. And I mean, I was before the rain. You got Tuesday rain that happened from work. I didn't in and out. So I took last week off. Okay, I'll probably take next week off too because I'm gonna be in San Diego, and there's just no workout equipment at the gym. At the hotel. I know that. I've already checked. Actually, there's a real nice workout facility at work. Anyway, but I am going to eat restaurant recommendations. But what was I going to say? Doggone it. Oh, I was underneath the hood working away, and two guys rode up on their bicycles, and I'm underneath it. I got oil and grease and grime up to my elbows because I don't know what I'm doing to be clean, you know. I got my gloves on so I don't beat up my knuckles anymore. I learned that one. So we're sitting there working, and the guy goes, hey, how are you? Good. And it was Elder Z and Elder somebody else. I said, hey, good to meet you guys. I'm Pastor Rick. How are you? And, okay. Well, have you had a chance to, you know, yes, I have, and you guys are just wrong. That's what I told the guy. He goes, well, do you have a minute? I said, no, sir. You see that cloud coming right there? That doesn't look good, and I need to get this engine covered back up. And they go, well, can we come back? I said, sure, come on back. I don't, you know. But what were some questions? Here they are, to ask these guys. Hey, how did you get saved? That's verse 2. How did you get saved? I was staring at Pat. You know, we pick on the new visitors who come and sit down up front, okay?
The law side.
Yeah, the law side, right. No, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by the works of the law, verse 2, or by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved? How was your justification nailed down for you? What a question to ask people. Because you know what they'll say, don't you? By faith. Most of them will say, oh, yeah, it was by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, yeah, got it. Then why, verse number 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And that's our verse this morning. Man, look at the question you ask. Your justification, how that happened. Faith alone, exclusively relying in the finished work at Calvary by Jesus Christ. Man, that event tells you how everything else is going to work in your life. And it's by faith. That's why Paul says, We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, move into sanctification, which is what verse 3 is. The Christian life. By the way, verse 4 there, we'll look at this next time. How to evaluate things going on in your life. It's on your handout. I put them there for you. Verse 5, when we get there, will be your sonship. These are questions to ask because they're not thinking right. They've begun in the spirit. They are justified people. They are saved people. But now in their Christian life, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to go back to a program that's dead to live. That's what they're doing. And if you understand you got saved, which is by faith, then guess what? Your walk's going to be the same way. Come over with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, just real quick. That's what Paul's dealing with here. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning here. Because you know what? By the way, 33, Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. I love these as and so. So walk ye in him, rooted and ground and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. How did you begin? How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. Guess what your life in Christ is all about? Walking by faith. Okay? You see that? Now come back to chapter 3 there. Verse number 3. This is a great verse on the Christian life, folks. It really is. This is a tremendous... People, it's interesting. I've had conversations here with some of the guys and with other people through emails and talking at conferences and stuff. And they, Rick, man, I just struggle. Grace is not practical. What? It's the most practical thing in life. I'll breathe in oxygen to survive. Well, it's in the ivory towers. Baloney. Stick around next hour. I'll take you right down to the dregs of society. That stuff helps. Oh, but I don't know what I'm doing. I can't. You know why? Because you've begun in the spirit. Now you're trying to do it in your flesh. That's why it doesn't work. That's why it frustrates. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't wake up every morning with a chipper. Hey, it's great. Good morning, everybody. You know? I don't wake up like, what's his name on that Good Morning Vietnam? Good morning. No, I don't wake up that way. This morning, we threw the alarm clock through the window. I was like, whoa, it's no kids to roust. So we can sleep in. No, we're not talking about having a life full of roses and trouble. We're talking about how to live through that, how to get through that. Notice verse 3, he says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the... Now, right now in time, right here, right now, today, 2010. Oh, by the way, today's 10-10-10. Okay? So if you're a betting person, go play the ticket. You should have played yesterday, because that's when they drew them was last night, but 10-10-10, okay? All right? I didn't play. I don't have any money. My money with them. And my wife has the other money. So I got a little thing that says their driver has no cash. Wife and kids spent it all. There you go. Well, they do. Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now in time. Right here, right now. Have you begun in the Spirit? How did you begin? How did you begin? Well, somebody told you you were a sinner, and then told you you're a Savior, and you believe in the Savior. Right? Simple. Okay? So what happens the moment that you trusted Christ? What does the Spirit do? You receive the Spirit. You receive the Spirit. You're sealed with the Spirit, aren't you? He comes in and dwells you. 1 Corinthians 12, he goes, baptizes you into the body of Christ. He takes you and he identifies you with an entity and an agency that God's forming and using today. Boy, that's fantastic. He comes along and he blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, that's fantastic. And by the way, he makes you complete in him. That's a new banner, by the way, for next hour. That banner won't move. That one's going to move, break up. My wife looked at that and she goes, too much orange. And I said, well, one more Sunday and then we'll get it off the wall and it'll be over there somewhere else, okay? It's not going to leave the room. It's just going to get off that wall. Hey, folks, that's great stuff. Look at how you begun. You began. Spirit, you began with everything. You got it all. You were perfect. You are perfect, by the way. So, let me ask you a question. When did Christ not become enough? When did all spiritual blessings stop being enough? When did being complete in Him stop being enough? When? It never stopped. Who stopped? You did. Because you've now tried to become perfect by the flesh. If you're complete in Christ, what do you think you can do now that's going to make you any more completer? You're laughing. It's ridiculous. It really is. By the way, that complete, you know what it is to be complete? My daughter yesterday, packing her suitcase yesterday morning. Both of, well, one of them. The elder daughter. Now, she had a little room left. And she tells me it's not as heavy as when we went to Chicago in July. Which is telling me that she just didn't pack a few pairs of shoes, because she took every shoe with her in Chicago. Okay, well, she's with her friends, and we got a, that, you know, she changed shoes like 5 times a day. I'm like, golly. What do you do with a suitcase? You pack it, and there's still a stack. So you put in more, Dad, come and sit on it so we can get it closed. Fortunately, there's that 50-pound thing at the airport. Yeah. So what are you doing with it? You're sitting on it and you're buckling it down. To be complete is to be crammed full like that suitcase. You've got it all. It's all crammed down in. You can't get any more in. And he says, are you so foolish to think that you're going to be perfect by your flesh? I think he uses the word foolish rather than stupid. Because that's what I would have said. But see, they're not stupid. Why? Because they know where they started from. They're foolish. They're not properly. They're not thinking properly. And what they think is that they think by activity, by my emotion, what I can contribute, then guess what? Perfect. And when did he, Christ, not become enough? I mean, what a question to ask. You see, folks, when you come entangled with the law, with the performance-based system, what it does is it kills every opportunity to experience in the details of your life the victory that God has already given you. I'll say that again for you. When you become entangled with the law, performing, it kills every opportunity, experience in the details of your life, the victory that God's already given you in Christ Jesus. As soon as you try to say, I got to strive and I got to work, you kill in that moment in time, it's done. That's what he has just pushed in chapter 10, the end. Look at verse 2:18. For I build things which I destroyed. I make myself what? What did Paul destroy? What did Paul's message destroy? The law, casting down the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, breaking down the middle wall of partition, all that. Man, if I go underneath that law, what does the law say I am? A sinner, a transgressor, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. It condemns you. 2:19, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. There's the reality of who in Christ Jesus. You're dead to sin, Romans 6. Law, Romans 7. Folks, the belief is saved not But they're saved to live unto who? Unto God. And when you go beneath that thing, and by the way, that's 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, never yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have begun in the Spirit. And when you entangle yourself with the law, you kill every opportunity to experience in life. And boy, don't we... And that's where the frustration comes with most grace believers. Most, I'm talking about us, mid-Acts, Bible-believing, dispensational, rightly dividers, ultra-dispensational, ultra-hyper-dispensationals, dry cleaners, whatever name you want to label. Label it up. It's fine with... Because what do we try to do? We do it. We try to roll over here and figure it out on our own. And we try to perform. And when that happens, what is... I try to think about how to illustrate that. And there, nothing comes to my mind because we all do it every day. And when you're looking for the victory, come over with me to Romans 11. When you look for the victory, you go, man, why do I feel so lousy about this? It's because what have I tried to do? I've tried to do it. Rather than letting the Word of God that dwells in me, the Spirit in me, work out through me, the life of Christ, I get in the way. And buddy, when you get in the way, you kill it. Because when you get in the way, your flesh says, it's time to perform. You have to perform. I told you Romans 11. I skipped a whole section. Go back over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I looked at the wrong sheet. I got like 8 pages of notes up here, so. And we got at least another 20 minutes. Chapter 5 and verse 1, notice this. Stand fast, what? Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Notice the therefore. Whenever you see the therefore, what do you say? What's the there, therefore? Well, the there is therefore because he's tying you back into the doctrinal sections of 3 and 4. He's tying into the sections that we're in here, starting in 3 and verse in chapter 4, where he's going to lay out the doctrinal impact of living under grace and living under the law. The fact that you're not under the law, but you're under, he's going to lay out the doctrine for you. And he says, stand fast, therefore. Where do we stand fast? In the doctrine. We don't stand fast in our activity. Because, boy, today I'm looking good, but tomorrow when I wake up in the morning on the beaches of San Diego, guess what I'm not going to want to do? You got it, don't you? You know where I'm going. We'll be relaxed. Kids. No kids. No kid. I'm just kidding. I love my children very much. I just need a break. Stand there. Where do we stand fast? In that doctrine. It has what? Liberated us. It set us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. Uh-oh. Only Paul can say this, folks. Peter can't say this. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry can't say this. And what is he going to say? If ye be circumcised, Christ shall what? Profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are judged by the law, ye are fallen from sarcasm in there, just so you know. Okay? Because can the law justify you? No. Never can. So he's saying to what? You people over here who think you're justified by the law, which would be this side of the room, okay? All right? We can flip it today, just for Joe's sake. Okay? All right? If you think you're... Yeah, get back on this. You've just been kicked off the island. Leaven leaveneth the whole lump. No. He's saying to these guys, hey, guys, listen. If you're underneath that law, if you're struggling to keep, and by the way, if you're a debtor to do the whole law, what does James say? Offending one, you're what? Guilty of it all. Wow. Boy, he says, you're a debtor to do the whole blessed thing. But we don't do that, do we? We take the top 10 and pick out one or two of them that we like, and we don't even do the other eight. But what about the 613 of those commandments? We talked last week about the moral law and the ceremonial law. We didn't even do that stuff. Verse 4 is the point. Christ has become of no effect unto you. He's talking about your life here, in your experience. By the way, that's what chapter 5 and 6 is all about. How to take the doctrine that you've just learned in 3 and 4, put it to the detail, and allow grace to run your life and not live under the law. Christ has no effect, no impact. If Jesus Christ and your salvation, if Him provides no profit, that's what it is. It'll be underneath the law. No advantage, no impact. Wow, can you operate and live in that way? But you do. You know that? You do. During the moment of your life when you need Christ, He won't be there to help you. Now, I'm not talking about, we're talking about life, Christ, Christian life, living. We're not talking about justification. We're talking about sanctification. Why not? Because what does that performance do that you've been doing? It frustrates grace, doesn't it? It blocks grace. It blocks the grace of God helping you in the moment when you need Him the most. And folks, that's every minute of your day. That's 24 hours, 7 days a week. He doesn't take a vacation. He's going to go with me to San Diego. So what's going on there? I mean, this is no small thing here. To resurrect the system that's been dead, declared by God to be dead, to go and live under it. No small thing. Come over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold on to Galatians 5. We're going to come right back to it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. What causes the cross of Christ to be made of none effect? Wisdom of words. And boy, can't we turn a word? Some of you guys are better wordsmiths than me. And boy, you can turn it, and the next thing you know, you've just tied it into your mind, and all it is you've just resurrected a dead thing. And you went right back underneath it. Come over to Galatians 4. And verse number 1, and this is why you resurrect the old thing, is Galatians 4:1. You resurrect the old dead thing because you like it, because your flesh wants it. People use Galatians 4, verse number 1 and 2 here, on the issue of law. Verse 1, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, he Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. You see the tutors and governors? That's the law. Tutor to teach you what you shouldn't be doing. Teach you what you should be doing. What happens when they put the wet paint sign up? Just hang it. Put it on that door right back there and watch the kids. It ain't wet, Dad. How do you know, son? Because I touched it. Didn't you read the sign? Don't touch wet paint. Look at our laws of the land. I'm not talking about loopholes in the law. Just talk about laws that have no loopholes and watch how people try to beat the law. What is it for? A loophole that isn't there. governors try to hold it back, try to stop sin in my life. You know what the law does? With the law came what? The knowledge of sin. Where does the law and sin get their strength? In your flesh. Folks, grace is the only answer to this stuff. No human effort. No performance system. Come over to Romans 11 with me. No performance system on your part. None of that. Just His grace. And when you rest in just His grace and you're standing fast in the liberty, the doctrine. Watch Romans 11. Let's read verse 5. We don't read verse 5 very often, but watch. Even this present time. Also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is what? But if it be of works, then it is no more work. No more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Even in Israel, chapter 11 is about Israel, dispensationally. For them today, you know how it's going to work? It's going to work with grace and not their works program anymore. And if it is their works, then guess what? It's not grace. And if it's grace, then it's not works. They're two what? Mutually exclusive programs. They're not designed to function with one another. So if you put a performance-based system on yourself, or on others, you know what you do? You make the cross of Christ of none effect. No profit. No bingo money. Nothing. It's done. It's over. Come back to Galatians. Kind of gloomy, isn't it? But it's meant to be, because it's what is it trying to make you do? Think about what you're doing. Most people live the Christian life with their head in the sand. They do. They put the little, we were talking about the, as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. They put that little placard above the thing and they think they're covered. Well, what's the difference in that and putting the Roman Catholic crucifix by the front door so you're covered coming and going? Ain't no difference. Your idol has what? Just changed. Went from a crucifixion or a picture of Jesus or a picture of Mary or whatever, and same thing up there, and it's a placard. Now, nothing wrong with the placard, don't get me wrong, but understand what's going on here. You know, people get all upset with the Roman Catholics, but you and I do it just as much. And we're more the hypocrite than they are. Why? Because we've begun in the Spirit. We know better. And what have we done? We've slid right over there. People get upset with, Rick, you don't think you ought to own books. I think you ought to own books. I got placards all over my house. On my refrigerator, goofy thing. I got verses all over it to remind the thinking as I opened it. Don't do it. You know, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Following right back there was Matthew 3 or Matthew 4, which was in 3 days. You know, things like that. No, folks, think about our Galatians 3:3. Are you? Yeah, there you go. Gun. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How'd you begin? How did you get there? You started in the Spirit. You started there by faith. And that's what's going on here. And Paul, that's what Paul's arguing about here in 3:3, is you guys, and you slipped off. Now the great debate, and come over with me to Romans 8, and you'll be with me at 10:30. The coffee's on, the donuts aren't going anywhere, it's okay. Step away from the table. Okay? Verse number 1. Christian life is okay, I now have the righteousness of God. I have life. I have the Spirit. I'm sealed with the Spirit. I've been made complete. But now, how do I be righteous in my life? Live that righteous life. 9 out of 10 of you go right back to the law to perform it. Not 9 out of 10 of you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sorry, Mr. Cooper, you're on the hook. Okay, Jim, you're on the hook, all right? Not that, okay? But that's what we do, isn't it? How to perform it. What does he say over there in Romans 7? You're in Romans 8. Flip back to Romans 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find that. Boy, isn't that the great debate in the Christian life? Man, how can I live righteous? I know I'm saved. I know I'm blessed. I know I'm sealed. I got all that. I got it. But man, how do I live that in mind? Come next hour, I'll tell you. Romans 8, verse number 1, talks to you about that. Romans 8, verse 1. There is... What? There. Uh-oh, we got another therefore, don't we? Now, what most people do with this verse is they run over there to John chapter number 5, and they use this as a John 5, verse 24, and they say, well, see, look, now, how there is therefore condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the... who walk not the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, look at that eternal security. Woo! And they run to John 5:24. John 5:24 has nothing to do with you at all. He's talking to the disciples about them and their coming kingdom. And you go read John 5, and he's talking about the little flock going into the kingdom and doing all this stuff. And they get there by hearing his words and him and so forth. You want the eternal security passage for you today? It's 5, verse number 1 through 11. There's your eternal security. A peace with God, and when tribulation comes, your hope is over. You are in Christ. And oh, by the way, you'll be saved from the wrath to come. Boy, ain't that any more secure than that? I don't know what is. What 8:1 is about the therefore. We're talking about your walk. We're way beyond justification issues here. There is therefore now. Well, so we have to go back to verse 25 of chapter 7, don't we? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve God. Law of God, the rule of God, the doctrine of God is going to run my life now. But with the flesh, the law of sin. You're not going to get that flesh until the resurrection trumpet blows. I'm sorry. You're going to have it. It's going to stink, it's going to get old, it's going to die, but you don't get a newbie until the resurrection trumpet blows, the day of redemption. Okay? Deal with it. Figure it out, deal with it. Get a membership to the gym. Use my name, I get my $25 back. Okay? No. We're talking about what's going on in 8:1. Because of the deliverance that I have in Christ from the law, chapter 7, verse 25. Because of the deliverance from the law that I have in Christ from the law under the principle of grace, then guess what I can now go do? I can go serve Him. And I can go live for Him. Now watch 8:1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation. When you say that word condemnation, what do you think immediately of? Hell. Can I say, thanks for playing? When you hear the word saved or salvation, most of us think about what? Saved from hell. Can I say, thanks for playing? 90% of the time, that word salvation is not talking about being saved from hell. It's talking about being saved from physical calamity that's going to do you harm. He tells the Philippians to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They were saved people, folks. They've been saved since Acts 16. So what's their salvation? Their salvation in that verse is from that issue of their emotions running their show. And they got them, their emotions had them so worked up that they were ready to all jump in a boat and come get Epaphroditus out of prison down there because he was sick, nigh unto death. And Paul says, relax, guys. He's on his way. Calm down. Work it out, man. The circumstances got them. Talking about something totally... So don't read condemnation or damnation. The law in Christ Jesus hath made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. See, I have this deliverance in who I am in Christ because of the principle of grace, the free principle, the gift principle. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. Folks, you as a believer can live in condemnation. You know that? You can come over to chapter 4. You cause yourself to live in condemnation. Chapter 4, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth it, not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a believer running himself right at the condemnation wall. You know why? Because he put himself underneath a performance-based system right over here when he didn't need to, over here. You're all under the law. We're talking about your walk here. Go back there to chapter 8. And that's what he's doing in chapter 8 of Romans, is he's describing what the law does for the life of a believer. You know what it does? It causes, and number 4 again, 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us. Not on you, but where? In us. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice it doesn't say the deep law might be what? The righteousness. See, the righteousness of the law and the works of the law are two different things. Rather than what the law, the righteousness of the law, not the details of the law, not the 613 commandments, not how to perform it. You know what? I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever looked at those commandments. Have you ever tried to figure out how to do some of that stuff? You ought to go back and read down through the law and just figure out, could I do that? But ask yourself, how do I do that? Aaron, take Aaron and Moses. Aaron had 4 boys, right? He had 4 boys, and God told him to do something. I'm paraphrasing. He told him to do stuff this way. 2 of his boys didn't do that, and what ended up happening to them? They got killed right off the bat. Aaron runs to Moses and says, Moses, we don't even know how to do this stuff, and I'm getting wiped out of my boys over here. I've already lost 2, and if we don't do it right, I'm going to lose the other 2. Yeah, we've got to go read that stuff. It's nuts. You would go nuts doing trying to figure it out. But what's the right of the law to do? We're not talking about the details. Who does the righteousness of the law point you to? To Christ. That was going to be in us. Now that verse says the righteousness of the law. The law was designed to point them to Christ. He's the one that's going to be what? Fulfilled in us. Not the details of the law. You didn't go bang your head up against that wall. Could you imagine tying a piece of string to you so that you knew you walked out a Sabbath day's journey? Today you'd use the TomTom to figure out what 2-point-whatever miles it is. Could you not, just crazy stuff. Verse 2, by the way, for the law of the Spirit of Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You got a new rule. You got a new life. You got something new that's running you. And it's a free gift principle. It's who you are in Christ. Galatians 3, verse number 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Man, you're a complete in Christ. But are you a fool? Now do you think that you become perfect in the flesh? You're perfect in Christ because you're in the Spirit. Still found. And we're waiting for that day of redemption. We're waiting for getting out of here. But you know what, though? Until then, our spirit and our soul move in this body of this old flesh. That's why it still hangs around you so much. That's why it so frustrating. But you know what? You can take care of that by remaining in who you are in Christ. And I love that, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I love this, studying it along with 220 and doing the next hour. It's a great stuff. You want to not have frustration in your life, folks, live as who you are in Christ. Well, how do we do that? How do you? Well, stick around next hour. I got to plug next hour, you know. Full room, we need it. Folks, since when is he not enough? Since when is to be complete in him, to have all your spiritual blessings, to us all things to freely enjoy? When is that not enough? It's not enough. Flesh. You know what your flesh is? It's a pig. You ever see that commercial with the pig walking around to save money? And they're putting the money in the pig's pocket? You guys got to watch some TV commercials. That's some good stuff on there. Good illustration stuff. Not all the time. I fast forward through them when I'm watching something I want to watch. You know what? Your flesh is a hog. It's a pig. Because you know what it says? Feed me. The big old little shop of horrors. Feed me. It's a pig. You see, folks, your faith, an intelligent understanding of the Word of God rightly divided, and not I, but Christ. I began right. If I stay where I'm supposed to be, then guess what? I'll be there. If you're having trouble, you're having frustrations, you know what you ought to step back and do? Did you put yourself under a performance-based system? Did you put somebody else under one? And they're not performing to your high standards. You see, folks, when you become entangled with the law, it kills every experience of victory that we have in Christ and the details of our lives in moments on a daily basis. And all you have to do is say, you know what? He didn't perform the way I wanted him to. And you know what? You know what? When you do that, by the way, I was thinking about this after reading last week. When you put your expectations upon somebody else, you're shifting the responsibility to whom? Somebody else. To fail. They're going to fail. And if you put your acceptance, I will only accept you. Where is my acceptance at? In Christ. How did he accept me? When I was an enemy? When I was a sinner? When I was a transgressor? He died for me. So you got to be careful. This law stuff is no thing. And I think that's why more lately, I just don't put up with it. Because it is no small thing. Because what it does is it makes the cross of Christ of none effect. It says that was worthless. It was vain. It was empty. Oh, but Rick, you know, come on. We know. No, you don't. And in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Some good verses to think about. Okay? It's very serious. This stuff isn't light. This isn't tiptoe through the tulip time. This is down mud deep in the swamp trying to get the job done. We're down where the leather meets the road. I mean, you think about that. Think about your job. But next, think about your relationships. Think about your job. Those of you who are retired, think about relationship. If you that relationship, no matter what it is, being who you are in Christ, would that relationship be different? The answer is yes. If you're on the job and you're being an employee, doing it to the the will of you're doing the work for Christ, your attitude in that job will be 180 degrees, 360 degree turn. If you're retired, attitude was who I am in Christ, it would be 360 degrees, because you wouldn't got the line that went to use debit or went to use the check, and they said, don't take checks no more. You wouldn't go, ah! Or you wouldn't go, ah! When you get in the line and the cash one arm. Oh, and somebody was telling me about it. Danielle went into Walgreens, and the poor guy behind me, he was got a job. But the problem is he had a root canal that day. So I used to, and there's no back of communication. And Linda said it was funny because we're trying not to laugh at the guy because he was being funny. You know, I got a people in the wait. They're looking, oh, where's another cashier? What's going on? Get the manager. Think about if you're in that situation being who you are in Christ. Patience. Tribulation worketh. Patience. And patience experience. You know what the experience would tell you? Go to another Walgreens. Okay? You know? But of that. That's how rubber meeting the road stuff this gets, folks. We're not in an ivory tower. Now, today, I'll sit behind a guy and I'll honk the horn because he didn't go when it turned green, you know. Right? Exactly. Okay? But just, that's what Paul's getting at here. Think about this. Think about where every detail, think about your marriage, think about your kids, think about everything you do. In the morning, you go in there and you make the pot of coffee. I don't, I got a timer. Doesn't work anymore, but okay. By the way, if you buy me a coffee maker, make sure it's got a time on it, okay? Because I can set it and it's ready when I get there. Because what happens to you? You're fumbling around with your coffee, spill it all over the floor. Now the dogs are over there licking it up. Okay. And they're digging through it. And they're doing this. And what are you doing? I got joy, joy, joy down in. Woo! Woo! What are you doing? You're kicking the cabinet, now you got a stubbed toe, you kicked the dog out the door. If you'd have just went in there with a little joy in your heart. But you don't, do you? Just think about it. That's what Paul said. Just think about this, folks. Okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, I just pray that we would think about these questions in our own lives and we would apply them to there, because that's where it starts. In your name we pray. Amen.